Baptism is a great indication that you're in good shape. Baptism is a great symbol, a great display, showing the world that you are in good shape, that Christ is in you. And you see, baptism will never save you. It doesn't have a part of your salvation. It doesn't do that great work. That's from repentance and faith and God's grace. But once you have believed and you've repented of your sins and you put your faith in Jesus, baptism is how we follow Jesus. We identify with Him. He was baptized. That's how He began it all. And it's just like a wedding ring. I could take this wedding ring off right now, and I won't do it. I've had it on all 13 years, except they just had to recently do a procedure on me, and they had to take it off. But this is just a symbol. I could take this off and won't change a thing. I'm still married to Allison. But I wear it as a symbol to show that we are married and to show our love. Your baptism is a symbol of what God has done in your life, of your faith in Him. And you go under those waters, and it's a symbol showing that you have died with Christ. In Romans 6, it talks about this. You have died with Christ. Your old life is dead and gone. And now you come up out of the water, and it shows that you've been raised by Christ, that He's given you new life, and now He has come to live in you, that Christ is now in you, the hope of glory. And so when you come up out of that water, you're showing that a new life is in you, the life of Jesus Christ, and you're going to live that new life with Him in you. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. Let's look at what God says to us in Colossians 1, verses 24 through 27. And this message is entitled, "You're in Good Shape with Christ in You." Colossians 1, verse 24. God tells us this in His Word. "Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of His body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the Word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Wow. God tells us right there that there's a mystery, a great mystery that has now been revealed to God's people and to the Gentiles. It's a great mystery. And it mentions these glorious riches that God has for those that realize this mystery. Well, what are some of the glorious riches that we receive from Christ being in us? When Christ comes to live on the inside of us, we become a Christian. That's what a Christian is. It's somebody who Christ indwells. They've repented of their sins and they've turned to the Savior. They've put their faith in Jesus, and now He lives on the inside of them. Christ in you, the hope of glory, that is the great mystery that's now revealed. Well, what does it mean? What are some of these glorious riches that are talked about here? And how do we experience them? Well, just a few of these glorious riches. Let's look at with Christ in you, first of all, and here's what we need to do. If Christ is in you, here's a few things, and we'll experience these glorious riches. With Christ in you, you must have the right heart, first of all. With Christ in you, you must have the right heart. You and I need to have the heart of John the Baptist. Do you remember when John the Baptist, his whole ministry was to point to this coming Messiah, to prepare the way for the Lord, to make people ready? He wasn't the one. He wasn't the great one. He had a lot of followers. A lot of people were going out to him to be baptized. A lot of people, disciples, a lot of people following John the Baptist. But his whole ministry and his whole purpose was to prepare the way for the great one, the one that would be coming. And you remember, you may remember, you might not know yet, but one thing John the Baptist prayed was that he would increase and that I would decrease. That was John's heart. That was John the Baptist's heart. Though he had all these followers and people were going after him, he would always say, it's not about me. His heart was, it's all about Him. That's the whole reason I'm here. I'm pointing to Him. He must increase and I must decrease. It's all about Him. That's the heart you need. That's the heart I need. Sometimes we're too selfish. Sometimes I think it's all about me. Sometimes I go through life and I'm so focused on Derek, it's pathetic. Maybe you're too focused on yourself sometimes. And Christ is in you. He's living in you. And what do we need to do? Our heart needs to be, oh Lord, Lord Jesus Christ, You increase. Lord, in everything I do, say, and think today, Lord, may You increase. May I simply just point to You. May I decrease. I believe it was Neil. May Neil's prayer be answered with a yes by God. If you remember, I believe it was Neil just prayed, Lord, hide Derek behind the cross. That's it. That's the right heart. May Derek be gone and may we see Jesus. May Jesus be lifted up. That's the heart that you need with Christ in you. That's the heart that you must have. The heart that just wants to point to Jesus. You don't want the glory. You're not trying to take the glory. You want to give it to Jesus. And everything you think, say, and do, you want to point to Jesus, not yourself. My life must be all about Him, not about me. Speaking of, let me pray along those lines as well. Father, I do pray, Lord, that this very message, Lord, You tell us in Your Word, Lord, that I should speak as if I am speaking the very words of God. Well, Lord, that can only happen if Lord, I'm out of the way. Please remove me and let us hear from You, Jesus. We pray it in Your name. Amen. Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Think about that. That's a great prayer to pray. I like to pray that every day as a part of my prayer time. Lord, may I do that. Help me to do that. If you want to be a follower of Jesus, that's what He says. If you want to follow me, if anybody wants to follow me, then you must deny yourself. And a couple words later, He said daily, daily. And a lot of times it's many times a day. Sometimes you'll be going through the day and you'll realize who's large and in charge. You'll realize it's yourself and who's doing everything that day and who's getting all the glory, and you'll realize it's yourself. But so oftentimes it's even many times in the day we need to realize that we need to die to self, that we need to cease to exist. That's what the word means there. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, cease to exist, to where you're no longer there, you're gone. Just let people see Jesus. Lord, just let them see You. May that be Your prayer and my prayer. Well, ask yourself the question, how are you doing in this area? Do you want them? Do you want others? Do you want them to see you or him deep down in your heart? How do you feel about it? Well, we need to have the right heart. We need to just point to him and get out of the way. Secondly, we need to realize, you need to realize what you are. And I need to realize what I am. With Christ in you, you must have the right heart. And then secondly, you must realize what you are. With Christ in you, you need to realize what you are. And look, let me give you God's picture of what we are. You're welcome to turn over there if you'd like to. But if you flip back just a little bit in your Bible to 2 Corinthians in chapter 4, God gives us a great picture of what you are and what I am with Christ in you. Here's what you are. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, listen to verses 4 through 7. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Look at verse 7. Look at that verse 7. God gives you a picture of what you are. He gives me a picture of what I am. What are you? Some translations say an earthen vessel. That's what you are. You're an earthen vessel. Mine says a jar of clay. A clay jar. But we have this treasure. But there's a treasure inside. Here's what you are. Here's what I am. Just a terracotta pot. A jar of clay. An earthen vessel. This is you. This is what God says. This is me. This is all we are. But verse 7, we have this treasure in jars of clay. You're a jar of clay, but if Christ is in you, the hope of glory, there is a great treasure in you. This is you, but there's a glorious treasure with these glorious riches inside of you if you're a believer, and that's Christ. Christ in you. But we have this treasure in jars of clay. Why? Why do we have this treasure? Why am I just a jar of clay? Why is this treasure inside? To show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. You see, when I realize I'm nothing but a clay pot, I can't do anything, but there's a great treasure inside of me. And then I begin to realize that all the power, anything worthy that I can do in the name of Jesus, that it's all from Him. It's all from His surpassing power. And what Jesus said in John 15 is true. Apart from me, you can do nothing. It's all the treasure. The treasure is what does the work through the clay pot. We're just a clay pot. And so you need to realize what you are. And you know, this is why in many instances, in many cases, this is why it's good to be broken. This is why it's good to be broken. If you're a jar and you're broken and there's a treasure inside of you, what happens? People can see that treasure. I purposefully selected this jar with some brokenness to it. It's got some holes in it. It's not a perfect jar. It's broken. It's messed up. It's incomplete. It's imperfect. Is that you? I don't know. Maybe you're perfect. Maybe you're a perfect jar. But I'm like this one, broken, messed up. But you know, because it's broken, when that treasure's inside, you can see that treasure gleaming through, can't you? You can see that sparkling treasure gleaming through where it's broken, and that's a good thing. It's good to be broken. And you see, being a jar helps you to realize that you are a witness, not to your own goodness, but to His goodness. That's another important thing. A lot of people have the mistaken perception that Christianity is all about good people going to church and they're all good and they're like perfect and a lot of people feel like, well, church is no place for me. I'm not good. I'm not good enough to go to church. I'm not a good person. I'm far from perfect. And you see, people get that mistaken perception of Christianity when we mess it up and we become a witness to ourselves and we're saying, look at me, look at me, look how good I am. I'm a good Christian. Look at this. That's not God's message. God's message is, I'm broken. I'm a messed up, nasty, broken pot. But you know what? Christ is in me. And anything good you see in me, when you see me doing some things in the name of Jesus, give Him the glory. It's Him, not me. That's Him working through me. And you see, we need to be witnesses, not to our goodness, but to His goodness. That's where God saves people. That's the message God saves people with, not with my goodness. 2 Corinthians 12:9, just a few pages forward. Turn there with me. 2 Corinthians 12:9. The Apostle Paul was talking about his brokenness, and he had this thing he called the thorn in the flesh that bothered him, and he couldn't stand it, and he wanted God to take it away, and he prayed three different times in verse 8. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. This is his brokenness he's talking about, his messed upness, if that's a word. Three times I pleaded the Lord to take it away from me. But He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. God's power is made perfect in weakness. And then listen what He says after that. Therefore, here's what Paul's going to do now. Now that he knows God's power is made perfect in weakness, now that he knows he's not a witness to himself, but to God, and to God's power and what God can do in a broken life, he says, therefore, I'll boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong. You see, when I'm weak, and people know it, and I let them know who I really am, then they get to see God's strength. God can use my weakness, and then I'm out of the way, and people get to see Him. They get to see His strength. They get to see what He can do. I love this T-shirt that I've got, and you probably can't see it from there, but I love this T-shirt. It says, when you are, it has a zero and a one here, and it basically says, when you are a zero, when you are zero, it says, He is the one, number one. And then underneath it, it's got 2 Corinthians 12:9, what we just looked at. But that's the truth. I love this shirt. When you're a zero, when you're weak and you're broken and you admit it and you realize it and you know that you can't do it and you know that if it's going to be done, God's got to do it, then you're a zero and you're weak. That's a good place to be. When you're insulted, when you're persecuted, when you're going through some trials, when you're weak, that's good, because then He is the one. He's the one everybody gets to see. He's the one that gets to display the power, His power, through your life, through your broken vessel. I'll say it again. John 15, Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. I love what happened to Steve Brown one time. He's a great Bible teacher, and one time when he was pastoring a church back in the 80s, I believe it was. It was a time when AIDS was very scary. People didn't know a lot about it and weren't sure how you could catch it and how transmittable this disease was. And after the service, he said this man came running up to him, and he said he's not even really a touchy-feely kind of guy. He doesn't really hug a lot of people. You know, Steve Brown, this pastor. He said, but this guy came running up to him, and he was just weeping after the service, and he was just crying. And he said, Pastor, he said, I've got to talk to you. He said, I've got AIDS. He said, I'm dying, and I have AIDS. And Steve Brown said, I just held him. I just grabbed him, and I just held him. And he just cried on my shoulder, tears getting on me. And he said that we talked a little bit, and he said later on, after the man had left and everything, he said, I went back to my office. He said, I got in my office, and I said, oh my goodness. He said, what have I done? What have I done? I held that man like that. The tears were on me. What in the world was I doing? What was I thinking? And he said, God spoke to his heart. What God said to him was, you didn't do it. I did it. That's it. It's really not us. The things that you do, the things that you do for the Lord, and the things that you believe you're doing for the Lord. And sometimes we pat ourselves on the back. I did a good job there. That was great. You know what? It's really not us. Apart from me, you can do nothing. It's really not us. Sometimes we think it is, but it's not. It's Him. It's Him. This is you. This is me. We have the privilege of Him working through us. We have the privilege seeing Him do some awesome things through us. And then we give Him all the glory because we know who it is. I know it's not me. I know it's Him. With Christ in you, you must have the right heart. Point to Jesus, not yourself. You must realize what you are. You're an earthen vessel. You're a clay pot, a jar of clay. And next, you must stay focused on the treasure. Stay focused on the treasure. Not on the pot, not on you and all your brokenness and all your heartaches and your depression or whatever you're going through. Not on you. But we need to stay focused on what's inside. We need to stay focused on the treasure. Boy, we will get down and out. We will get low and depressed if we focus on the pot, won't we? My goodness, we will. But that's not our focus. We need to stay focused on the treasure. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes. Here it is. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. You see, I'm not to be looking at me. I'll get depressed real quick. I'm not to be looking at me and focusing on myself and all my self-improvement and all this stuff. I can't improve myself anyway. I'm broken. I'm messed up. I need to stay focused on Jesus. I need to stay focused on the treasure. I need to keep my eyes, do what God says, and keep my eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of my faith. Remember, when you have negative emotions, and every emotion is something God created us. He gave us all our emotions. We have all of our emotions. But remember, when you get off course, when you get off track, and you're having some negative emotions and things aren't right in your heart, remember this. You've probably just lost focus. Remember, you've probably lost focus. You see, God tells us, He warns us in Proverbs, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Well, see, sometimes when I get focused on the wrong things, the things around me, things other than Jesus, I get down and out. I have these different emotions, and God says, no, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Keep your focus on Jesus. Stay fixed on Him. Satan is the one that gives doubt, fear. These things are not from God. Despair, torture, all kinds of temptations, lusts, just to name a few. These are from Him. We need to stay focused on Jesus. Keep our thoughts on whatever's pure, right, lovely, noble, excellent, praiseworthy. You know that verse. Stay focused on Him. And here's what it looks like. I love this. Jerry, I don't know if you can dim the lights right here. If you can, great. If not, don't worry about it. But here's what it looks like. Here's Jesus right there. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I repent of my sins. I put my faith in Jesus, and He comes to live in me. And now, I don't need to be focused on this. I need to stay focused on this. And that treasure shines through my brokenness. The light of Christ shines through me. But That's what I need to stay focused on. Stay focused on the treasure. Stay focused on Jesus. He's the treasure. Keep my focus there. Okay, that's good. That's it. Stay focused on the treasure. And finally, I need to pray with confidence. Pray with confidence. You remember when the centurion, somebody he cared about was at his home and was ill, and he went to find Jesus and found Jesus, and Jesus was going to head on over there and heal the man. And this centurion found Jesus, and Jesus was ready to go. Yes, you know, let's go heal him. You know, Jesus was on his way over, making his way to the man's house. You remember what the man said to him? Lord, I'm not worthy to receive you. Lord, just say the word and he'll be healed. And Jesus commended this man's great faith. You see, this man prayed with confidence. You see, anybody who was talking to Jesus in today, that's praying. Jesus was God in the flesh. So they're talking to God. And so he's asking God, prayer, that's what we do today. He's asking God, would you go and heal him? And the man's faith was so strong, he said, listen, you don't have to go all the way over there. Just say a word. He'll be healed. We need to pray with confidence. Is your faith like that? Or do you have to get on your knees and go through some kind of rituals and do a lot of things and shout? Or do you have to say the prayer 50 times for God to hear it? You see, he hears it. Jesus said, don't talk in vain repetitions. He knows your heart. He knows what you need before you even ask. But we need to pray with confidence. We need to pray like that, man. We need to just talk to God and say, Lord, just a few words. Here's the need. I know you hear it. Lord, would you do it? Would you take care of that? We need to pray with that confidence. You know, it reminds me of John's relationship with Jesus. We're going to look at it more tonight. I hope you'll come back tonight. But John, at the table with Jesus, Jesus was saying, somebody here is going to betray me. And the way they ate at the table, they leaned on had their left elbow on the table, and they just kind of sat there, you know, with their head over the table eating. And Jesus must have been behind John. And Peter across the table said, ask him which one he means. And John was the one Jesus loved. Now, we know Jesus loved them all, but John and Jesus, they just had this close relationship. And the Bible says in John chapter 13 that John just leaned back on Jesus. You can just see him leaning on Jesus' breast. Jesus was like this. John just leaned back on, Lord, which one is it? But that's a prayer. That's a prayer. And my point is, are you that close to Jesus? Are you spending all that time with him? Are you so close to your Lord that just throughout the day you just whisper a prayer? You just kind of lean on Jesus and, Lord, would you take care of this? Look, could you meet this need, Lord? We need to pray with confidence. Let's pray together.